One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
100% have listened to Tortured Poets. Let's be for real. I am a tortured poet.
I'm so depressed, I act like it's my birthday. Every day.
Yeah, there she is. Hello, hello, and welcome back to And Just Like Her, a Sex and the City podcast. I'm your host, Tara Llewellyn. Last episode, we had Kayla Murphy joining us to discuss whether or not threesomes were the new sexual frontier. And this week, Haley Call is back with us to answer one of my personal favorite questions in the series on whether or not it's time to settle for what you can get. Welcome back, Haley.
Hi.
I'm so glad you're here.
Oh my God,
and
same.
So are our listeners. People were so excited when I mentioned that you were coming back. I was like, they love you.
Oh my God, I'm so excited to be back.
I know. Well, I want to catch up because I feel like so much has happened since the last time you were on this podcast.
True.
It's been seven whole episodes. It's been like 2 months. Seven.
Yeah, that's a long time.
I know. So you've been at Only Murders in the Building.
Yes. Yes. And it's so good.
How's that going?
Great. We have a few weeks left before we go on, you know, hiatus and we wrap and all of that jazz. So, yeah, it's been great, though. It's been
I know. So I feel like literally maybe a few days or a week after you and I last saw each other, you were going to start work on it.
Yeah.
You were wrapping up a movie and then you were going to start work on it.
Yeah. Yeah. It happens so fast.
I know. I can't believe it.
And last night was the season finale of SNL season 49. So it's all kind of just like wrapping up this season.
Wait, they're coming up on season 50?
Yeah. Next year, season 50. It's going to be bananas.
Can you believe that you work on Saturday Night Live, first of all? Second of all, you're going to be there for their 50th season. That's a big deal.
It's amazing. I mean, hopefully they have me back, you know?
I hope so, too. I would be very surprised if they didn't.
I love it there so much.
But I have to tell you, I have been thinking about this a lot because I've been in the midst of a Desperate Housewives rewatch. Mm-hmm. And as you know, Eva Longoria, can I talk about the fact that she's on Only Murders? Is that a surprise?
So upfronts were on Tuesday and our official promo video commercial for season 4 came out.
Oh, so amazing. Yeah. So the people know.
The people know that it is the starriest season yet.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, I've been in the midst of a Desperate Housewives rewatch. So like Eva Longoria is on my screen every single night. Love her.
So beautiful.
Also doesn't age. I really want to know her secrets. But same. I have to tell you, I've been thinking about this a lot. Desperate Housewives is so Sex and the City coded. Have you watched?
I remember watching way back when, but I have not done a full rewatch. But I feel like that might be a good one to cycle in, you know?
You totally should.
I should.
It's so, first of all, it's one of the most well-written series in television, I think. And I have to say, like, I teeter back and forth on this because I have like 4 main shows that I would argue are like my favorite TV shows. Gilmore Girls, Sex and the City, The Office, Friends. And that 5th slot is kind of like it rotates a little bit. And for me, it usually is Desperate Housewives. But like once I watch other shows, I'm like, oh, maybe it's this and maybe it's that. Maybe it's this. It's Desperate Housewives. It's such a great show. It's so well written. But I've been thinking about this a lot, especially doing this podcast, that it is so Sex and the City coded because, like, the character of Lynette Scavo, who's played by Felicity Huffman, it's like so Miranda coded. She's kind of like hard on the outside, but like squishy on the inside. And she's dating this puppy dog, or like in Lynette's case, she's married to a puppy dog. And that's like so Miranda coded, Miranda and Steve. And then you've got Susan, who's kind of like the Carrie character, kind of blended with Ava Longoria's character because she's so like put together and like her fashion is out of this world. So if I had to like combine those two characters, it would be Carrie. And then you've got Brie, who's like the Charlotte a little bit.
Yes.
And then you've got Edie Britt, who is totally the Samantha because she's like, you know, just men are her playthings, obsessed. So like I was watching it the other day being like, oh my God, this show is so Sex and the City coded. And I think that you should definitely rewatch it soon.
I think that's screaming for a crossover episode.
I know. Hello. It was one of those things where I was like I could just see it all in my mind. And I was like, oh my God, wow. It's very Sex and City coded because there's an episode. What had me thinking of it is I'm kind of in like the latter half of the series and Lynette is having trouble because she just had a baby and she needs assistance. And so Tom brings his mom in and his mom is in the early stages of dementia, but they don't know it yet. And Lynette sees it and Tom doesn't see it. And so like she has to now kind of take care of Tom's mom. And it just reminded me of that scene between Miranda and Steve's mom when she's like giving her the sponge bath because she knows that Mary has dementia or is in the early stages of some sort of like, you know, unfortunate disease like dementia or Alzheimer's or something. And so it was just, I was like, wow, oh my God, that's such a storyline from Sex and the City. And then I was like, wait, this entire show is kind of Sex and the City coded, which like it kind of falls into the same vein. It's a lot about sex and relationships and like female camaraderie. I love it. I'd love to do a crossover episode. I don't know what that looks like, but
I need to do a rewatch. Clearly.
You do. Oh my God, you will love it. Especially having recently worked with Eva. She's, oh my God, she's fantastic.
Yeah.
She's amazing in the show. She's such a fantastic actress. I'm so yes. excited for Only Murders.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun for everyone to watch.
Yay.
I mean, it's been so much fun to work on. So, can't wait. I can't wait for you to see it. Honestly, I can't wait for you to see it.
Maybe a bit of a loaded question, but how's your love life?
I mean, non-existent.
All right, non-existent. Fair.
You know, she's been busy. She's been busy.
Yeah, you've been booked and blessed. So yes. It's kind of hard to have a love life when you're on a show like that.
100%. And I feel like it's kind of, I've been very, very lucky to have been, you know, on these amazing projects kind of back to back. And it hasn't really given me any time to breathe. So I am looking forward to a little bit of time off and just like, you know, basking in that and maybe changing that story a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe I'll change that story.
Love to hear that. I was going to ask what was next, which is always such a loaded question in the arts. It's like, what's next? It and it's like, ugh, I don't want to answer that. I don't know.
Yeah. The next thing is family vacation. You know, that is what I am looking forward to. That's
where are you guys going?
We go to the Outer Banks every year.
Oh, right. Yeah. I knew that. Oh,
yeah,
fine.
My sweet family. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
I know.
That's so exciting. Well, we're so glad to have you back.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad to be
especially
back.
Especially for this episode. I knew that I needed you for this episode.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that you had your Sunday to yourself so that we could record together.
Yeah.
Because this is a question, like I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, that I have been dying to get to. Like, this is one of the questions when I decided I wanted to do this podcast. This was one of the questions that I was really excited to dive into, specifically with you. I actually cut this from our episode that we did together previously, the second episode. But Haley and I, we co-created a series together, a television series. I mentioned that you were the director of Under the Influence, which was my first pilot that I wrote back in 2019. And then while we were in the midst of all of that, Haley and I ended up creating another series called Minnesota 10, which is about two girls who decide to uproot their lives and move to a small town in Minnesota in an effort to find love after someone in a bar tells them that they're New York City Sixes, but Minnesota 10s. And
so
a lot of that stemmed from mine and Haley's frustration over feeling like we were in a situation where we needed to settle in a city of great expectations.
Yeah.
And so that question that Carrie poses in this episode of, in a city of great expectations, is it time to settle for what you can get, really resonates with us very deeply. And so for those reasons, I knew that you were the person I really wanted to have this conversation with, because we've talked about this so many times, in addition to the question that we discussed and dissected on your first episode about physical beauty. I think this one goes really hand in hand with that topic. So I'm excited to get into that with you today.
Yeah.
But before we do, we're going to do the quickie.
Oh, yes.
It's no longer a quickie. It's like, if I was having sex the way that we have the quickie, it would definitely not be a quickie. It'd just be normal. The normal.
Tara, please.
I'm just saying, like, it's like 20 minutes long, and after 20 minutes, I'm good.
Oh, my God.
Right?
I adore you.
That to me is not a quickie. Yeah. 20 minutes? Right? Am I wrong? Is that a quickie?
I mean, it depends on the day, I'd say.
That's fair. I'm thinking a quickie is like 10 minutes. Even that is just kind of like, well.
Yeah, you don't want no minute man.
No. Anyway, all right. So... This is season one, episode 9, The Turtle and the Hare. The Netflix description is, Carrie learns Big's views on marriage and grows concerned about their future. Charlotte's new vibrator proves to be a little too satisfying. Which is true. We open meeting Brooke, who's a quote-unquote perfect interior designer who only dates A-list guys, but in a turn of events, ends up marrying a guy who she apparently once described to Carrie as more boring than exposed brick. And I just want to put on the record that I love my exposed brick. I love it. It's great.
Same. Same. Big
like,
fan.
If you describe somebody as being more boring than exposed brick, I'd be like, they sound very interesting. I would like to meet them. Anyway, attendees at this wedding include investment bankers and the women who hate them, classmates from prestigious colleges, and the witches of Eastwick, aka the single gals, who we love so much.
One of my favorite lines in
the And also one of my favorite like personality scenes from the show.
So
I've seen
good.
It everywhere. It's like a gif where Samantha is like walking towards the camera and she's like, it's so good. It's just like it's a walking, talking personality poster for this show. I love it.
It's
so the
great.
Girls are at the single table, classic, with a bunch of weirdos, which is hilarious. You have like the single table. It's so funny because like I would have imagined these women at the singles table that she says like there's two singles table.
Yes.
And you were at the other one.
Same.
And I'm like, I think it's because of what you're wearing. Like, what? Why did they show up all in black like this was a funeral?
I am not sure. Maybe that is like maybe that's symbolism in this episode.
I guess so. It must be. But amongst the bunch of weirdos is Bernie Turtletop, aka the Turtle, who's known
the
for
turtle.
Good investments
and bad breath.
I love when Carrie takes the flower and puts it up against her nose because he wants to date Samantha, which is very ambitious.
The gall, the nerve.
I know. Well, that's going to come back a little later.
You're right.
But a question I had for you as a former Charlotte and sometimes a Charlotte at heart. Do you like catching the bouquet at weddings?
You know, I used to. And now I'm just like, nah, somebody else has got it.
I think that maybe when I was in like, I never really attended a lot of weddings when I was like in my late teens or early 20s. But by the time I got to like 26 and I was in weddings, I was like, please don't make me do this.
Oh, yeah. No. I also, like, grew up whenever it was, like, do you remember whenever they used to, like, take the garter off? And,
yep.
Like, every once in a while, you'd get, like, the frisky couple who would, like, he would take it off with his teeth.
With his teeth.
Yeah.
Yep.
It always, like, weirded me out. And I was like, this feels very strange.
Yeah. No. And those traditions, I'm like,
yeah,
good.
Yeah. Same. And I think I grew up in, like, a huge family and, like, I swear every weekend it was a wedding that we were going to. So I feel like I was at so many of them that maybe the novelty of like catching the bouquet like wore off. Like 16.
Totally. Yeah. No, I hear
like,
that.
Okay, cool. Let somebody else do it.
Yeah. Oh my God. Of course.
I also
That's
don't
the thing
want
is
you
like,
putting that garter on my leg. I don't know this human who caught the garter.
I know.
I don't need to put a bit on me. Oh, no, thanks.
I'm good. I'm set. It's just one of those things where like if you are into that, no judgment, but I will let you go. I'm going to stay here and eat the cake.
Yes, you I'm going to cheer you on. I'm going to cheer you like, on. Yeah. You get it. You get that bouquet, girl.
Yeah. But the women who like fight over it, I'm like, I could not be bothered.
No.
Genuinely. I'm good. I'm sad.
Yeah. I don't need to be hit in the face over a bouquet toss.
I am not playing lacrosse over a bouquet of flowers.
I did not bring my helmet, actually.
Yeah.
So
yeah. It's like a roller derby match out there and I'm good.
Not a roller derby match.
I've seen roller derby matches. They're running into each other and like getting bummed and bruised and breaking things.
It is not unlike a bouquet toss at a wedding.
It really is not. It really isn't. It is it's not. True. Anyway, so Brooke says something to Carrie as Carrie is leaving that really sticks with her and I think is why we take this episode in the direction we do. She says, it's always better to love someone who loves you more than you love them.
Mm. How many times Zing. Have we all heard that?
I know. So she calls Mr. Big and asks, why do people get married if they're not in love? Which in the last episode, we found out that Big was married to a woman named Barbara. So now it's out there that he's been married in the past. And I guess something that they've kind of squashed between the two of them, to which he responds, I don't know, companionship, guilt, political asylum. But the main takeaway from their conversation is because of all of these things and because of the headache of getting married and then getting divorced, Big says he's never getting married again. Right. And it kind of prompts the first question that we get, not the main question of the episode, but can you date someone who could never get married? Which we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
So we go to the round table after Big kind of drops another bomb on Carrie like he did in the last episode. And he tells her that he never sees himself getting married. Miranda and Samantha are not surprised. Charlotte is bummed. She's like, I think this is a bummer. Mm-hmm. Her perspective is very interesting. She says, if you end a long-term relationship and you don't get married, you have nothing to show for it.
Mm.
Which I want to put a pin in for later as well. Miranda, in my opinion, gives the best advice. In 50 years, men are going to be obsolete anyway because you don't even need them to have sex anymore. And she knows this because she has the rabbit. It's the ultimate vibrator, as she says. And so she ends up taking Carrie and Charlotte to meet the rabbit at a sex shop. And despite being super, super against it, Charlotte loves the rabbit. She's like, oh my God, it's so cute. It's girly. It's a girly pop vibrator. Little Peter Rabbit.
Yeah.
And they all end up buying one.
Yes. I just like think it's so funny that like something so like pink and frou-frou was like, ah, yes, this makes me want this.
I know. She's like, oh, I thought it was going to be scary. I'm like,
yeah.
What? So the reason that Samantha was not there for all of this rabbit talk is she went on a date only to get blown off by the guy and run into the turtle, who she decides to make over and kind of turn into her little project because she desperately needed some sort of affection, some sort of compliment. And she thinks he's a little fixer-upper. The eyes.
The old fixer-upper. Yeah, we all think we can fix them.
Yeah, we do. And yet, here we are. But this prompts the question of the episode. In a city of great expectations, is it time to settle for what you can get? And she ends up kind of taking this question, not directly to, but she ends up meeting with her friend Brooke, who now feels like a weight has been lifted now that she's married. She's basically insinuating, like, we all think that we deserve this grand, grand marriage, but in actuality, like, we're just happy to have someone who can do the basics. And then she sees Samantha and the turtle, where Brooke says to Carrie, she looks happy. And it leaves Carrie wondering if everybody around her in Manhattan is settling. Charlotte is so addicted to the rabbit that she's canceling plans with her friends.
She's a terrible liar.
She is. And Carrie says that. She's like, she's the worst liar I've ever met in my life. And it's so funny because she tells her this at yoga while she's telling her, like, I have to stop. I have to quit. Oh, by the way, I can't come to the ballet tonight. And Carrie's like, okay.
It was such a shift.
It was so weird. It was like, really weird. Yeah. Anyway, so Carrie ends up going to the ballet with Stanny. I love when we get the Stanny perspective. I also just love this. I love this moment. I love Carrie like dancing off of the steps. Brett and I went here the other day. I love the Lincoln Center steps with the fountain. It's just so beautiful. It's Same. Like so New York.
Yeah,
we were standing there and I was like, I love it here. God, you're such an expensive date, but I love it. I love New York.
Yes.
Anyway, Stanford also has had it with the dating scene, specifically the gay dating scene. He's gotten so tired of bars and blind dates that he actually takes out a personal ad in the paper. He meets someone. This guy kind of rejects him. And so he's heavily considering, he says it kind of offhandedly, and so does Carrie, marrying a woman so that he can get his inheritance from his grandmother. But then as they're talking about it, he's like, actually, that would be kind of nice. Like, kind of ideal, marrying your best friend who makes you laugh, keeps you in expensive shoes, encourages you to cheat, and shares your passion for hot men in tights.
Yeah.
I can't say I haven't considered it myself.
Oh, I mean.
You all met Gerardo.
Yes. Hello. How many times have Zach and I talked about getting married?
Oh my God. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Because think about it. Like, you know, they always say marry your best friend. And I'm like, all right, well, he's right over there.
Hello.
Honestly, stranger things have happened.
Yeah,
so true. Charlotte tries to cancel plans again. I love that they have kind of a rabbit intervention. That's really Miranda's only purpose in this episode. She doesn't really have a storyline, which is very fascinating to me, considering Miranda's stance on not settling and being very independent. Carrie says something interesting. She says Charlotte decided not to settle for herself, which I understand the sentiment. I just think it's so funny how Charlotte went so far to the other end of the spectrum. But I think that she is the kind of person that sometimes needs to go really far on the other side, because she believes that, like, marriage and companionship is the be-all end-all, that I almost, like, enjoyed watching her swing the pendulum in the other direction. And so when Carrie was like, you know, Charlotte decided not to just settle for herself, I was like, I sometimes wished that Charlotte would settle for herself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And just, like, choose herself in these moments. And also choosing her own happiness over just, like, the status of having a partner.
Right. Exactly. Samantha realizes that despite her best efforts, the turtle is just going to be the turtle. He's still going to ask it what kind of pears these are and what kind of mushrooms these are. And she's going to be like, who the fuck cares? Like, you can put him in fancy clothes, but he's still just the turtle.
Yes.
At the end of the day. And then Carrie meets Stanford's grandmother, who says that she gave up a career to have children. And I find it really interesting when she asks Carrie if she wants the same, to which she says yes. Which is kind of surprising given where Carrie's storyline ends up going.
Yes.
When she says yes here, it's like, oh, okay, season one. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's the direction that they initially intended on taking her character in.
But I also think that that's kind of cool that you can have so many, like, you can change, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that, like, that's a testament to, like, our lives, especially as women, that, like, there are going to be moments where we're like, yeah, no, I want that family. And then, like, you can also be like, no, like, I don't need that. It's not necessary. So I think it's kind of cool that she maybe started out in one storyline and then the writers were like, you know what? Maybe it's not necessary for this character to have that story.
Yeah, totally. That's so true. But Carrie finds out that he's not getting his inheritance by marrying Carrie because his grandmother can see that Stanford is, as she says, a fruit. But he is a fruit.
Yes.
But, like, I want to be like, what fruit? Somebody... Which one? A kiwi?
But as somebody who owns that many Chanel suits and, you know, clearly her apartment is decorated with high art and she understands that her grandson is a fruit, how is she not accepting of him?
Like, well, what? I think she's accepting of him. I
but
just don't think she's
going to get her inheritance, his inheritance.
Well, it sounds like she's giving inheritances away only if you get married, which sounds really bizarre to me. Like, I think she accepts him for who he is. I just think it's like, for whatever reason, I'm sure if Stanford was straight and single, he still wouldn't be getting his inheritance. You know what I mean? It sounds like her only criteria is get married.
Wow.
Which is odd. And at the time, was not legal for people like Stanford to get married to who they wanted to get married to. So it's just kind of like, you would, I mean, at least I hope that his grandmother accepts him. We're going to hope.
We're going to hope.
This all kind of ends with Carrie telling Big that she wants to get married someday. And she asks, what's the point of dating someone who doesn't want to get married? And he answers the question with kind of this weird cooking analogy. He says, it's all about the timing. You have to brown the garlic before you put in the onions, which is true, I think. I don't know. I don't cook. But I think it's true. Like, why get so ahead of yourself? He's like, I thought we were having a good time. We were having fun. They're in the early stages of their relationship. You know, I see both sides of it. But he says it's all about the timing. And that's kind of where they leave things. Her parting words are, my Zen teacher said the only way to true happiness is to live in the moment and not worry about the future. Of course, he died penniless and single. Which gives us a lot of hope. A weird-ass way to end that episode. I thought it was going to be about settling. I thought it was going to be about something. I was like, that's it? It went to black, and I was like, all right, well.
Right?
I'm feeling really optimistic now.
I mean, like, maybe that is, like, their way of being like, keep watching to see what happens. You know, like, maybe that was at that time the series way of, like, you know.
Yeah. They leave it ambiguous enough that it's like, you know, they want you to keep coming back for more.
Yeah.
Which I understand, but I'm also kind of like, that's – it's fascinating that, like, oftentimes there's not really an answer to the question. And I get that there isn't always going to be. That's the beautiful thing about the show is that, like, everybody's answer is going to be different.
Yeah.
But before we get to the main question, which, of course, is in A City of Great Expectations, is it time to settle for what you can get? One of the questions that's posed very early on is, can you date someone who could never get married? And I'm curious if that is something that you would be able to do.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
I think that I want to get married, but I think it's about defining what, like, marriage, like, actually means in that way. Like, if it means, like, just obtaining a status symbol in order to kind of, like, get everyone off my back of, like, oh my God, she's finally married kind of thing. Like, no, that's not what I want. But like long-term commitment, like wanting someone to choose you every day, that's what I want. And if that choice is, like, reiterated to our, in front of our family and friends as a marriage, then yes, like that is what I'm looking for.
Totally.
But this idea of just, like, getting married in order to, like, have the status of being a married person, that I'm not interested in that.
I'm not either. And I think that that is – I want to believe that that's going out of style.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it is. I think that in our 20s, that was a big deal. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you felt this way, but in my 20s, there were so many people that I met – and instantly was like, oh, I could marry this person. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why was I thinking about marriage, A, when I was a fetus, and B, with people, like, that was always the thought, was like, could I marry this person? Question mark, right? Yeah. Could I see myself with this person long term? And that's because I was dating with the expectation of long term relationships. I never really dated just to, like, date around.
Right.
But I think a lot of that, in hindsight, now being in my 30s, is because so many of my friends were getting married. And I felt like, oh, that's something that I should be doing and looking for. And, like, it's a status symbol. And it's like, yeah, but that's a fucking commitment.
Yeah.
I don't want it just to be a status symbol, just so people look at me and think, like, oh, good, she got married.
Right.
Just so I can, like, check it off the list.
Right.
And it sounds like Brooke, this woman who kind of starts, kicks off the episode, is the kind of person who's just like, okay, yeah, I got married.
Yeah, it's like one less thing to answer to, you know? Like, oh, like, I feel almost as if there are all of these, like, stair steps, you know, to being a successful person. And for some reason in our society, it's like marriage has to be one of those things.
I know. You know what? I loved that you you posted about the other day. You posted this note where you were thinking about baby steps and talking about baby steps and how we often equate those to, like, small, very, like, incremental steps towards moving forward, when in actuality, baby steps are very shaky, rocky. You're going to fall down.
Yeah.
And I loved that you said that, because I feel like we never think of baby steps as that. No. We always think of baby steps as like one foot in front of the other, mm-hmm. but slowly.
Yes. And maybe take like very careful
a little
steps.
Bit at a time. Yeah.
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 When they're not, they're not careful. They're chaotic.
Yeah.
And messy, and you fall, and then you learn and find your balance and your footing.
And that's life.
Yeah.
Yeah. But kind of talking about marriage being one of those stepping stones towards success or towards being a successful person, I think Charlotte speaks to that in kind of saying to Carrie, like, well, what if you date him and 5 years down the line, you guys break up because he doesn't want to get married? Then you have nothing to show for it, is what she says.
Right.
And it's like, if you end a long-term relationship and you don't get married, does that mean that you have nothing to show for it? I don't think so. Why does marriage then have to be like the deciding factor in whether or not a relationship is successful or not?
Right. I mean,
just like, because it didn't last forever.
I think the thing that has always really like struck a chord with me is like the idea that the only thing that is guaranteed in love is loss. And we still do it, right? Like we still love, even though we're going to lose that person eventually. Like, and
we take the risk.
You take the risk for people. And I think in some way, people think that like marriage is kind of like the peak of the relationship or like, and I know we've said the word status so many times, but like it almost feels like, oh, now you've hit the peak of your love. When in reality, it is just one of those baby steps into the deepening of a relationship, you know?
Yeah,
100%. It's the announcing that you are committing to this person. And that's just like the beginning of it. But I think, especially as like little girls who watched fairy tales and it always ended in the wedding, so, you know, like that was always the end of the fairy tale. But in real human life relationships, it's just the beginning of a different part of your relationship.
Yeah, 100%. We're very conditioned to believe that that's where our story ends rather than begins. It's kind of one and the same, that like your life doesn't begin until you get married. But, you know, that's your happily ever after. And what I will say is I think that it's okay if getting married is a goal or one of your goals. And I think that sort of what Charlotte is speaking to on the positive end is, why waste your time if you know you want to get married with someone who says that they don't want to get married? Because it's less about you'll have nothing to show for it. It's more about the fact that like you shouldn't be in a relationship where you guys don't have common goals. And if you know you want to get married, it's really unhealthy to stay in a relationship where you are basically going to be hoping that this other person changes their mind and they're going to be hoping that you change yours, you know?
Right.
It was just so interesting and kind of par for the course to hear from Charlotte, like, well, what if you're with this guy for 5 years and then you have nothing to show for it? What you have is the relationship and the lessons learned and the love that was there and shared. Mm-hmm. But I do think that we as a society have put so much emphasis on marital status.
Yeah.
That tends to be the deciding factor in whether or not a relationship was successful or not, meaningful or not. It does beg the question of, can you date someone who, or can you be in a committed relationship with someone who you know is not going to get married? But with all that said, I don't think that I could date someone who was very staunchly, you know, confident that they didn't want to get married.
Yeah.
There is a part of me that wants to have a wedding and wants to like have a day to celebrate my love with somebody, with my friends and family,
100%. And commit to that person. Also, we've been to so many weddings. I want to turn.
I want to turn.
I want to turn.
I want to show all you what I got.
Also, who loves to celebrate love more than us?
I truly.
Who loves to celebrate love more?
You and I are also like celebration girlies. Like we celebrate everything. And 100%. We also know how to put on a good party.
Yes.
We know how to decorate really well. Like I can't wait to go to your wedding.
Oh,
your wedding's going to be
fucking
lit.
It's going to be incredible. But also, I think that we are also people who, whenever we are at weddings, we like are so joyous about witnessing the love and witnessing it. And I just think it's like so beautiful. Like I understand it completely, but I have always basically been single and I still go to weddings and like there's so much hope and there's so much joy. And like it's never like a meh, why not me? Like, no. Like,
yeah.
I get so excited about it. So I can't wait to have that day.
Yeah. I think that it's okay to say this is a deal breaker for me.
Yeah.
I want to get married someday. Where Carrie reaches by the end of it, she's like, I do want to get married someday. Mm-hmm. And it's not about the party and it's not about the wedding itself. And we see that at the end of, you know, the first movie.
Mm-hmm. I also think as I get older, I it's tricky because like I know you can get married at any age. I know you can have kids at any age and all of these different things. But you definitely start thinking about the commitment a little bit more. You know, like in my early like 20s and stuff, I was like, yeah, maybe I could like try that out. Maybe I could like if they want to just take it casually, like, sure, I can go with the flow, all of that different stuff. But now I do find myself more on the Charlotte train where it's just kind of like, oh, no, I want somebody who's going to be emotionally available for a partnership right now.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I need to get married tomorrow, but I need to know somebody is willing to be emotionally available.
Yeah, I'm looking for someone to commit themselves to me long term.
Yes.
We don't have crystal balls. We don't know if that is going to happen for every partner that we enter into a long-term relationship with, right?
Right.
But we can hope.
Yeah.
And we don't want to date someone who's just like, I'm just trying to keep things casual. And I think that was really the crux of where Carrie was at in this conversation, last conversation in the last episode where she was like, will you just stand still with me instead of like dating other women? Like, I just want someone to stand still with me instead of being on the merry-go-round of dating other people and getting on it, getting off of it. I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for this. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to ask for that when you are getting to know someone. And so I understand why Big was like, we just like, we're having fun. I thought that we were having a good time. Like there's a time and a place for that. But you do want to know that that is also what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. You want to know that you both are on the same page and that you're not like floating out to sea with someone who's like, oh, I was just looking for like a fun, casual thing, which there's nothing wrong with. Yes. But like, tell me.
Right.
When it comes to the main question of in a city of great expectations, is it time to settle for what you can get? Expectations are a really important part of that question.
Yeah.
We talked about it. Gerardo and I talked about this a lot a couple episodes ago, that laying your expectations on the table is so crucial. And when you move to a city like New York, there are a lot of expectations here. Mm-hmm. It's big and wild and people don't just move here for the hell of it. I mean, some people probably do, but like you oftentimes move here because you have goals and dreams and achievements you want to fulfill. And you have a specific life laid out for yourself in some way, shape, or form. And so there's an expectation to be met from yourself, from your partner. And so we've had this conversation a lot. With great expectations comes the expectation of meeting someone who can fulfill that. And in a digital age where all of that is at our fingertips, when we do meet someone who we really like, is it better to settle because they check some of our boxes than to hold out for someone who checks all of them? And Carrie asks the question of whether or not you really can have it all. She actually poses this question later in the series, can we have it all? But she sort of alludes to it in this conversation with Stanford, like, can we ever really have it all?
I mean, oof.
The follow-up to that is, where's the line between settling and compromise? Because I think that, you know, in relationships, in any relationship, friendship, romantic relationships, familial relationships, especially as you get older and your family and your parents specifically start to become people, less authority figures, and you build relationships with them, you start to learn who people are and you start to love them and cherish them and their role in your life. Mm-hmm. And at what point is it settling when someone maybe doesn't meet your expectation? And is it compromise, which is something you need to do in all of your relationships, you know?
I think that that is something that our generation is constantly questioning, especially because we are in this media age of, you know, you find people giving up on people so easily because they're like, totally. Oh, I can find the next best thing.
It's like, disposable.
Yeah, everyone feels very disposable. So I think there is a certain like, I don't want to say settling, but it's like figuring out like what is important to you and what you can compromise. And I think it's about just being really clear with yourself about what you're looking for. And if you're not, if your needs are not being met, you are settling. But if your needs are being met, and I think it's about really, really like diving in and figuring out what your needs are. There's so much like self-internal work that we have to do to be in a good partnership. Mm. And I think we fall into this trap of needing or wanting our partner to be everything to us. And I think mm-hmm. that a lot of community is lost in that because mm. we're relying on one person versus a village of people to take care of us. And I think that we've really strayed away from the community ideals. I don't expect my partner to give me everything. I have so many fulfilling platonic relationships. And that's why the like Stanford line, like that storyline kind of like spoke to me in so many ways, because like I have so many fulfilling platonic relationships. And right. what those people offer me is what I also look for in a marriage. You know, like I want somebody who brings me that much joy and that much trust. And I want to be able to confide in you and laugh with you and take care of you. Like I want to do that for my friends. And like I've always said, finding my person was going to be tough because I have such strong platonic bonds with people that it's like, you have the romance that I need, you know? And like, if the romance isn't matching, then I'm good because I don't need a partner. I want a partner. Mm-hmm. So it is, it's about figuring out what you do need. And it's funny that we're talking about this now because I literally just had a conversation with a friend on Monday about this idea of like, I'm just not willing to settle. Like I've gotten to the point where like I'm clear about what I want and like the type of person I want to attract into my life and the type of person I want to be in a relationship. I don't ever want someone to be like, oh, thank God she's finally married. She must have settled. Like, no, I want people to be like, oh, finally someone matches her energy. You know, like you're never going to be too much for someone who cannot get enough of you.
I read something recently. I don't know if you posted it on your story. I've seen it a couple times. That was like, no more shrinking ourselves to be digestible.
Oh, no.
Respectfully, you can choke.
You can choke. You can choke. Like, I won't do it. Mm-hmm. I'm a fully formed person. And I want my person to show up that way, too.
Yes. You want someone to have shown up having done the work.
Having done the work.
Having gone through not the same things that you have, right. but, you know, really built themselves up to also not settle for anything less than what they want.
Right. And also willing to grow in that relationship, because I do think that there is, I mean, especially in a world that preaches like self-love, 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 like, yes, that is so important, but we cannot only rely on that. Like we have to grow in a in a relationship. We have to grow in partnership. There's so much to learn by being in a partnership, and there's so much more that you can learn about yourself, you know? I think it's totally. So disheartening whenever we try and tell our friends like, oh, you have to, like, the way you're going to find a partner is whenever you finally love yourself. Like, no, you can be working on yourself and still be worthy of love. Like, 100% you can be.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
I have always found such offense to that. It's like, oh, I need to do more work, but you don't? Like, what?
Yeah.
Just because you have a partner now, you don't have to do any more work on yourself. Wait.
Yeah. You're done. You're cooked. Yeah, you're fully cooked. Yeah,
you're cooked. And I feel like that kind of in like the whole marriage conversation of this episode, like people think that being married is like the accomplished version of relationships.
Can I ask you a question from episodes past?
Yeah.
The episode after ours was about married people versus single people. And if there's still a cold war between the two of them.
Yes.
You think so?
I 100% think so. 100%.
We kind of got, by the end of the episode, we kind of, and I felt like this was a little unfair to have this conversation between Kayla and me because we're both in relationships. And I was like, we both kind of were like, I don't think so. I mean, I don't view my friends any differently because they're single. Like when I think of my friends who just happen to be single, that's not the first thing I think about them. I'm not like, right. Oh, and my friend X who's single. Like that's not how I see them. So I'm like, no, why would there be?
Yeah.
But I realized after having that conversation that it was kind of unfair for Kayla and I to come at it from our perspective without the perspective of someone who is single and may feel that, because a lot of my friends who are single have said exactly what you've said.
I think the cold war of it all comes from the mentality that people in relationships have figured it out. You know, like it's like we have the secret. We knew how to do it. And like, if I ask for advice, it's always like, well, you have to do this. And then, but like, it's always so contradictory. If I'm like, oh yeah, I'm dating a lot, like right now, like I'm really trying to find my person, I'm dating a lot, my friends in relationships will be like, oh my gosh, you should really just like take a break and like it'll come to you whenever you're not looking. And then it's like, okay. So then I'm like, let me sit back and just like wait for it to come to me. And then my friends are like, oh, but you need to be dating. And it's like, wait a second.
Which one is it?
No, you don't get to say both. And I feel like whatever it is, because they're in a relationship, they feel as though they are entitled to tell me how I should live in order to get into a relationship. Because they're like, clearly I have the thing you want.
Yeah, I have the secret.
Yeah.
I have the secret code.
I mean,
I have the cheat code.
In therapy, I learned one of the greatest lessons of my life. And it was, I was having a conversation with my therapist all about the relationships and the people around me who are in them. And I was just kind of like, I don't understand. Like, I do so much work on myself. I don't understand how someone who is doing this much work is not reaping any of the reward of doing the work. And I was talking to my therapist about this, and she was like, okay, like, can you look at the relationships of your friends? And like, would you date any of their partners? And I was like, no. And they're like, okay. Like, there's your answer. Like, you don't need to like question your worth. Like, your people are not their people. Their people are not your people. Like, you are getting jealous of something that you don't want. And I have to remember that too. But I do think that there is a bit of a cold war. I mean, even in like plus ones to weddings, I know we've talked about this.
That's what I brought up. Yeah. Literally in the conversation, I said I felt it when I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
I felt it because, and I specifically felt it in the weddings that I was honestly a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Where you remember, mm-hmm. I was given a plus one, it was taken away from me.
Yeah.
I was going to take Gerardo, who everybody on the other side of this conversation has now met because he's been on. He's one of my best friends.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's like Stanford and Carrie. I'm like, oh, so because I'm not sleeping with him, now his value has diminished.
Yeah.
He has been there for me longer than any male companion I've had in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yet his value is diminished because he's not my boyfriend. Yeah. He's not my husband.
Right.
And so in that instance, that's where I felt like a lot of the emphasis. And I don't think that that was intentional. I do, however, think that that was unfortunately like ingrained in my friends, is that like, oh, and I get it. You're planning a wedding. You are trying to cut down on costs, whatever. But at the same time, you have to think about, for me specifically, it was like I was in your wedding. I made a lot of concessions and commitments to be a part of your day.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, invested a lot monetarily, time-wise, energy-wise to be a part of your day, and you couldn't even give me a plus one. Like,
right.
it's the optics of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think about that time, and yeah, in my 20s, I definitely felt that way.
Yeah.
But now in my 30s, and it's unfair for me to really speak on that, because for most of my 30s, I've been in a relationship. So it's hard for me to say how I would feel if Brett and I hadn't been dating for the last couple of years, if I would feel the same way, if I would feel like I was getting the question of like, when are you gonna, you know, meet someone? When are you gonna settle down? And it can be really frustrating when you see the work that you've put in to, especially as a woman,
mm-hmm.
I feel like there were so many times when I was grieving the loss of a relationship and really doing the work on myself and not jumping into the next thing I saw. And then I'd look at my past partner and they would already be in a relationship mm-hmm. and me knowing how much they had to work on, mm-hmm. I would be like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Wasn't my problem anymore. But at the same time, it's like, it goes back to what you were saying about feeling like there are people out there who don't do the work.
Right.
And why are they, quote unquote, reaping the reward? But I do think at the end of the day, the reward for you is greater because you've now reached a point in your life where you're like, I don't need a partner. I want a partner.
Yeah.
And I would argue a lot of people who haven't put in the work need a partner.
Yeah.
Because they don't know how to survive without one. Mm-hmm. And that's not everybody who's in a partnership. Right. I just think that if you don't do the work on yourself to know what your boundaries are, to know what your hell yeses and hell nos are and your deal breakers, mm-hmm. then how are you going to know, to circle back to our current question, is like that you're settling.
Right. It also is like, it's such an optics thing, right? Like, I can look at someone and be like, they're settling because I have a version of them in my head that I think is true. And in their reality, like, that is what they're looking for, you know, like mm-hmm. that is what they want and that is who they want. And I have to be able to sit here and be like non-judgmental about it, because what is settling?
Well, that's the thing, is like the difference between settling and compromise, I think, is a really important question to pose.
Yeah.
And I think the answer there is compromise is, you know, adjusting your expectations for things that aren't necessarily deal breakers to you, whereas settling is compromising on your deal breakers mm. in the name of not being alone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. I think that what you added there at the end is like the perfect point, is like, are you doing this just because you don't want to be alone? Mm-hmm. Or are you doing this because like you're trying to find if this person is a good match for you or not? Yeah. And if like your reason for being with someone is surely for the fact that you don't want to be single, get out of it.
But my follow-up to that is like, is settling always a bad thing?
Hmm.
I know that we've talked about it a lot in this episode.
Yeah.
As if it is a negative thing, right. Like the negative connotations to settling.
Yeah.
But is it always a bad thing? I don't necessarily think it is.
Yeah.
You know, I think that there are certain things. I mean, think about how often we settle.
Yeah.
You know, when Carrie poses this question, of course, she's talking about like the romantic side, right? But in A City of Great Expectations, where like you're being surrounded by not only people in relationships, but people in, you know, different clothes than you, having like different professions than you, maybe being where you want to be professionally in the apartment that you want. Like, mm-hmm. how often are we settling for what we can get in the moment in the name of maybe getting somewhere else down the line? You know, I think that settling's not necessarily always a bad thing.
Right.
I think that it can teach us a lot about ourselves.
Right. That can be really tricky. Did we talk about the okay, just okay, enough theory on our in our second episode? Did we talk about that?
I don't think so. No.
It's this theory, and I don't remember who said it or what article. And whenever I find that person, I will definitely circle back to that. But it's this idea that people who are in really bad work environments statistically become more successful than people who are in just okay enough work experiences. So like if your job is just okay enough that you stay and you get just enough pay that you stay and the people there are just okay enough, like you'll probably stay in this like stagnant position. But if you're in a position that you're like hating it and like it's like maybe you're getting treated poorly and your wages are super low and it's not sustainable and you like feel really bad or like you get fired from something, like because there is such a like there's such a need to grow, there's such a need to like push through that, you in turn become more successful than if you just stayed in one thing. And I think about that a lot when it comes to like relationships, like is this person just okay enough, like, or do I need to go through this like heartbreak in order to find like the thing? But that's the scary part, right? Is like this idea that like we don't know if it's just like a can I find better or is it worth it to stay? But I do think that like being just okay is never what I'm going to search for. You know, like I am not a okay kind of person. I'm like a passionately refuse mediocrity kind of person, you know?
Yeah.
But it is interesting. It really makes my head swirl thinking about what settling looks like in this day and age of dating, especially when you're always looking for the next best thing.
That's so fascinating because I can see why people stay in situations, work environments, etc., when they're just okay enough. Because it's the devil you know.
Yeah.
Were there any situationships, relationships that came up for you while watching this episode that you were like, wow, yeah, I totally settled.
Yeah.
At one point in my life, in a time when I wish I hadn't.
Yeah.
Or in a time that taught me not to.
Yes, 100%. I think that a big part of growing up in a society that values marriage as like the sign of success is that I think we then associate our worth with our relationship status. And I think that there are definitely people that I think of that I've been in situations with that I was just like, oh, I'm doing this because of like the Samantha reason of like, I just wanted to hear someone tell me that I was good enough. Like, even if, like, they weren't my ideal partner, the fact that somebody thought I was good enough was enough to, like, give me that, like, sense of hope and excitement. And I, like, put so much value into that build of my worth, which now I look at and I'm like, oh, God. Like, who was that person? I still fall into that trap. You know, when I'm, like, really, really, like, down hard. Like that is always what it goes to, right? It's like, oh, well, I'm not worthy because I'm not in a relationship, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's so not true.
Of course not. But we've, as a society, have really put an emphasis on that.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Gosh, the people that I've...
accepted crumbs from.
Yes,
yeah,
oh,
same.
Accepted crumbs. I mean, it's, yeah, you accept crumbs when... you're not fed properly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like, I don't know if you know when your turning point was for that, but for me, actually, well, I've had several turning points. I dated a guy during COVID who was perfectly fine, but it wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. And admittedly at the time, you know, especially because it was a precarious time during the pandemic, you know, and we were all feeling very isolated and very lonely, it was a breath of fresh air to go out with someone who was very different from the people I dated in the past. And so because of that, I felt very apt to stay longer. Like, I stayed past the expiration date of my interest and like where I saw the relationship going. And I did a lot of that in the name of like not wanting to be alone and being like, well, he's nice. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not that I accepted crumbs from him per se, but I was willing to accept the potential of a future with someone who was okay for me. He's going to be great for somebody else. Right. But I think for me, it was like, no, this is just okay for me. This is fine.
Yeah.
And I don't want fine. But on the flip side of that, I was taking crumbs from my current partner who I love very much. But as you know, it took us a while to get to a point where we were, you know, in a relationship. And there was a period of time leading up to us dating where he wasn't in a position to give me what I needed or what I wanted or what I felt very ready for. And it took me finally, like, there was a moment that happened for me where I ended things. I ended the situationship that we were in because I was like, I will not settle for this anymore.
Yeah.
And it was very, I mean, that was a big, big breaking point for me.
Mm-hmm.
And was a huge reason why when we did eventually get together, it was hard for me to readjust and be like, oh, okay, I can date this person. Because I had made up my mind that I would not accept what I was being given.
Yeah.
And that, I think I would argue, was like one of the first times in my life I had done that. Because I would say that probably in every relationship I've ever been in, I've settled.
Yeah.
Up until then.
Yeah.
I've settled in some way. I don't mean to say that like with the people as a whole. I just mean to say in some way I was settling.
Yeah.
But when it came to Brett, you know, and we've talked so openly about this, that like, you know, he wasn't giving me what I needed.
Right.
And he was being very honest with himself and with me about that. He's like, I can't give you what you want. And I was willing to accept the bare minimum, crumbs, if you will, because I just wanted to be around him. I cared about him. Mm-hmm. I wanted something with him. And so in the name of wanting something, I accepted so much less than what I deserved. Mm-hmm. And I finally walked away.
Yeah.
I was like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
And it wasn't in the name of like, chase me, but I was not willing to accept that anymore.
Yeah.
And I really do think, you know, I know that what your friends and relationships say is, and of course, everybody has perspective to offer because it's from their own experience, and that's valid. But there is some truth to when you step away from what you don't want, what you want will find you.
Yes.
And for me, that was in the form of the same person, which I wasn't expecting, admittedly. Like, I genuinely, as you know, walked away from Brett being like, okay, that's it. We're good. Mm-hmm. We're done. I love you. You're a good man, but I gotta go.
Yeah.
And I think that when you ask for what you want in the form of walking away from what you don't, it will find you.
100%.
I do believe that.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it so many times, like, what is for you will not miss you. And I remember when that breaking point with Brett, and I remember being like so incredibly proud of you, because at that time too, I think that something that we miss a lot in these situations is we're so quick to be like, to talk to our friends like, oh, you're only going after emotionally unavailable people. Like, you must be unavailable yourself. Like, we're so quick to give this type of advice. And I've been in situations where like there are emotionally unavailable people in the forefront of my world. And I was like trying to leave that. But there wasn't a line of available people behind them, you know, like, it's not like I was actively choosing, like, you're emotionally unavailable and you're available and I'm going to choose you, which means that there's inherently something wrong with me because I'm not choosing them. Like, no, there's never, right. There's not the two options available.
Yeah.
One option was given to you and you chose that option right then. And I remember being so proud of you when you were like being like, you know what? Brett's not giving me what I want. It wasn't because somebody else was giving it to you.
Right.
It was because you knew that you needed more.
Yeah.
And in that moment, you did. Like, you expanded your attraction. And like, what is attractive about that is that the person who wants that is going to be attracted to you now.
Yeah, totally.
And I thought it was so beautiful because you chose what you wanted and not just another option that was giving you something. You, like, you didn't have two options in front of you. You had, well, you did.
Yeah.
You had you and you had settling.
Me.
And with, you chose.
Yeah. With a version of Brett that I didn't want to be with.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting because, as you know, there was this guy who kind of like immediately after I had walked away from Brett, like a couple weeks later, had slid into my DMs and we went on a couple dates. And I was just like, he's nice.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as much as it was nice to kind of feel like I was moving on, that also wasn't what I wanted.
Right.
And so, like, you know, I was really trying to stand in this idea of like, I'm not just gonna grab at the first thing that comes my way anymore.
Right.
And I think it's a really important stance to take, but it's a difficult one to take sometimes.
100%. Because it could be so easy to have a partner. I say this all the time. I could have a partner tomorrow if I wanted to. Like, I could just willy-nilly choose someone here or there, whatever. Like, I could have a partner tomorrow. I would not have the partnership that I crave, though. And I'm not willing to, like, just take that first bite.
1,000%. So actually, that leads me to kind of my last question that I have for you, which is, do you feel like there's ever a time to settle? You know, Carrie asks, is it time to settle for what you can get? Is there ever a time, especially as women?
Yeah.
If we want to be mothers, really, that's really the only factual timeline that we're on. Is there ever a time to settle?
I don't think that there's a time for me to settle, but I feel like I can't speak to that. It's like what we were talking about earlier. Like, everybody has their own. For me, no. I don't think that I will be able to. I also know that I will, like, I have people like you in my life who, like, if you saw me in a situation that was like, oh, you would be like, excuse me, ma'am, hello, do you remember my friend Haley? Let me reintroduce her to you.
Totally. And I think that that's the moral of the show, right? Is that like that point where Charlotte says, maybe we can be each other's soulmates. It's like, we are. We totally are.
Because 100% are.
To your point that you were speaking to earlier, you can expect your partner to check off certain boxes. And I think that that's really the crux of this episode, mm-hmm. is that your expectations and your idea of not settling comes from what boxes are non-negotiables and what boxes are the biggest ones that need to be checked in order for you to feel fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And I think that though it is important for your partner to check a lot of your boxes, it's very unlikely they're going to check every single one. Mm-hmm. I can say that being in a relationship with a partner who I love and who we have so much mutual respect for each other, there is no way that Brett and I each check every single one of each other's boxes. Right. But in that regard, Brett is not someone I settle for. Brett is someone I choose. And despite some of the ways in which we don't necessarily completely align, we still choose each other. Yeah. And I think that there's a difference. But at the end of the day, my friends, like the friends, especially as you get older and your friendship circle shrinks, mm-hmm. my friends check the boxes that maybe Brett doesn't check entirely. Mm-hmm. There are certain things that, like, I talk to you, Danielle, Gerardo, whoever, about. But, like, if I had a conversation with Brett about them, love him to pieces. He's not the person I'm going to for that specific thing. That doesn't mean I can't talk to him about things. Right. But he's not always the person I'm going to go to for a conversation where I need to commiserate about something that maybe he doesn't understand. Yeah. And for those reasons, I need my circle. Yeah. I just think that to have this expectation that your partner is going to check off every single box of yours is a little unrealistic. It could happen. Yeah. And if it does happen for you, that's great. But it's a little unrealistic to expect that. And that's where I think compromise comes in.
Right.
Less settling.
Yeah.
It's a fine line.
Yeah, it's a very fine line.
But I do think at the end of the day, the question being, in a city of great expectations, is it time to settle for what you can get? The answer is no. Keep your expectations great.
Yes. Keep them great. There are so many things in this life that can just be okay. Love should not be one of them.
Yeah, I agree. And I think part of the reason why Carrie doesn't really answer the question is to keep it ambiguous, to keep us interested, mm-hmm. you know, because she and Big are dating. It's very early stages of the two of them. But at the end of the day, I do feel like in a lot of ways, Carrie does settle with Big.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's very ironic that this is the question that's being posed with a man who unfortunately doesn't really check all of her boxes.
He also, his answer to the question could have been the last sentence of the series and it would have been the exact same thing. Like he does not change. Like he could have said the exact same thing. Does that make sense?
He is like, probably, yes. He is the most unchanged character in this entire series. Mm-hmm. So it's very, I don't know. I'm like team Aiden all the way. Always and forever. Mm-hmm. And Carrie is now too. Have you watched In Just Like That?
I have not. Was there another season of it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No. Then I've only watched one season.
They just did two seasons.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to know what happens or do you want to watch it?
No, you can tell me, I guess.
Huh. Well, Aiden comes back into the picture.
Oh, okay. Very good.
And by the end of it, she actually makes a comment about how she's like, I chose wrong. Big was not my soulmate.
Whoa. She settled, if you will.
She settled.
In a city of great expectations, this girl settled.
Carrie settled for what she got.
She settled.
This girl settled. But yeah, no settling. No settling in any way, shape, or form. And I think our generation is very, I think part of the reason why some of the older generations don't understand millennials and Gen Z, I would argue, is because we don't want to settle for what we can get. And they don't understand that. They're like, wait, I'm cool with good enough. I'm not all of them, obviously. Yeah. But like there are a lot of people in the older generations that are like, you kids and your avocado toast. And it's like, yeah, because I fucking wanted avocado toast and I wasn't going to settle for a muffin. Like, you know what I mean? I love a muffin, but I wanted an avocado toast.
Yeah.
Eugene. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Anyway, thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next episode.
Eugene.
We'll see you next time, Eugene.
Everyone's talking about AI these days, right? This season on Compiler, we're diving deep into how AI is reshaping the world we live in. Join us for a new season of Compiler, an original podcast from Red Hat. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.
When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.